Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuva, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic Congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
Shabbat Shalom. I'd like to welcome everyone today. I'm so excited to be here. I just know that we've had a great, great week of Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, everything that goes into that. It's been just absolutely remarkable this year and just have really enjoyed it. So now we're moving in, of course, to the season of Shavuot with the beginning of the count of the Omer. And we've been counting, of course, the Omer since first fruits. And now we're going to focus on that. In fact, in the weeks to come, I'm going to develop the theme of Shavuot, the outpoured spirit and the Torah written on our hearts. So let me talk today about Shavuot then and now and how we in Messiah keep Shavuot today. But let's jump into the background of this season, all the way back to our ancestors and when this whole thing first got established. In Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 through 21, we'll pick up the reading. I'm going to start in verse 15. It says, "You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering." So we begin the count of the Omer on the day after the Sabbath. The day after the Sabbath marks first fruits and the counting of the Omer, where we count for 50 days from Passover week all the way to Shavuot, connecting both Passover with Shavuot. So we start that count on the day after the Sabbath. The big question is what day of the week is the Sabbath? Well, the law of first reference says, go back to the beginning and find this concept that you're reading about in the first place that is referred to in the scriptures. So the Sabbath, of course, is found in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. This is the beginning place of the concept of the Sabbath coming into view. So Genesis 2, 1 through 3 states this, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." Some say yes, but that was a cosmic week of creation. And the days there were each epochs of time. Fair enough. That's right. But let's look at a post-creation solar week where each day is 24 hours in length. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 10, 8 through 11. Look at the opening of this passage, this verse. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day," there's that phrase, the seventh day, that we just read in Genesis 3 times. Verse 10 of Exodus chapter 10 says this, "But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or your sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So you'll note that the seventh day is the Sabbath day. It's the Sabbath day to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. And he calls us, whom he saved, his children, to keep that day holy for ourselves. Now, this is a solar week. The days are 24-hour periods of time. And the solar week was analogous to the cosmic week. Therefore, the solar week, like the cosmic week, has 7 days, with the final and last day, the seventh day, being the Shabbat for humans, the animal kingdom, and the earth itself. And for approximately 3,500 years now, Israel has been keeping the Lord's Shabbat. And that's a lot of Shabbats. I mean, if you want to try to do the math, it's approximately 182,000 Shabbats that Israel has kept. So this Shabbat, the seventh day, it was and remains the very same day that Yeshua the Messiah and the apostles kept. and it was and remains the same day that all believers, both Messianic Jewish and Messianic Gentiles, kept in the first century and still keep around the world today. This is what I believe the reference in our passage is referring to when it says to start the count of the Omer on the day after the Sabbath. That would be Sunday, the day following the Sabbath of the week of Passover. In fact, it would always be a Sunday. Therefore, Shavuot, Pentecost, would always fall on a Sunday. Others make the case that the Sabbath being referenced to here in this passage is the first day of unleavened bread, which is Nisan the 15th. And therefore, Nisan the 16th is first fruits and the day in which you begin the count of the Omer. Yeah, that's another way to look at it. That's another way to interpret this passage. Under this idea, first fruits and the counting of the Omer would occur on different days of the week, depending on what year it falls in. Now, my reluctance to buy into this idea is this. I have yet to find where Nisan the 15th is ever referred to in the scriptures as the Sabbath. That's right. I've never found, even once, the reference of Nisan the 15th being referred to as the Sabbath. Not even once. Now, however, keep this in mind. The issue of when to start the count is considerably complex, unlike determining the seventh day of the week. And due to the challenges involved, you know, you need to just follow the one that your community establishes in terms of the date of Shavuot. You follow what your community has established as the date and enjoy the festival of Shavuot. The harvest, we keep the tradition that first fruits and the starting of the count of Omer always occurs on Sunday, the day following the weekly Shabbat in the week of Passover. That's how we reckon it. Be it wrong or right, that's our understanding. And for us and many other Messianic believers, Shavuot then is always celebrated on a Sunday, 50 days later. Even the church picked up part of this idea and put it on its liturgical calendar, an annual holy day that they call Pentecost Sunday. Let's get back to our passage in Leviticus 23, verse 16. It says, "You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling places two loaves of bread to be waved, made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven and first fruits as first fruits to the Lord." So if you catch that, it's an amazing thing that we come out of this week in which we only eat unleavened bread, flat, unleavened bread. In fact, we're forbidden to eat bread with leaven. And now, for the next festival, God says, "Make me two big, fat, puffy loaves of leavened bread." What do we do with that? Well, what we do is we recognize that leaven is a symbol of sin within the week of Passover. It's in the week of Passover that we use that symbol of leaven as analogous to sin in that week. But it's only in that week. Outside of that week, eating leavened bread is perfectly fine. In fact, what it represents here is the blessings of God. That just like sin permeates everything, so does the blessings of God. And so the blessing of God permeates everything just like leaven. And he says, "Make me two big puffy loaves of bread to kind of symbolize my blessing and my prosperity that I'm pouring out on my people via the covenant." So that's important for us to understand and wrestle with and comprehend. So in Shavuot, the puffy loaves of bread represent the fullness of the blessings of God and his gifts and provision for his people. Verse 18 and on. "And you shall present the bread with the bread, seven lambs of year old without blemish, and one bull from the herd of two rams. They shall be a burnt offering to the Lord, with their grain offering and their drink offerings and food offering, with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. You shall offer one male goat for the sin offering and two male lambs a year old as a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for his priest or for the priest. And you shall make a proclamation on the same day. You shall hold a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a statute forever in all of your dwelling places throughout your generations." So this is another wonderful, powerful, meaningful celebration, the festival of Shavuot, That's right. It's lamb. What's for dinner, right? Lamb. It's what's for dinner. So what we have here is we have all the elements of a festival. Think about it. You have lamb on the barbie, fresh baked, warm, puffy bread, seasoned grains, a kiddush cup full of your favorite wine, music, singing, dancing, laughter, fellowship, and instruction on how to prosper and be in good health. This is another festival of the Lord. This is God's recipe for a party to mark and memorialize his great and gracious redemption. That's right. The cycle of redemption marked with these festivals is a celebration of life and wholeness and restoration through the covenants that he's made with us, and culminating, of course, in the new covenant that Jeremiah prophesied. So, in summary, the festivals are most always symbolized and actualized as a covenant fellowship party with God, eating and drinking with God, just like Moses and the elders on the mountain in that covenant that God made with Israel through Moses. They went up on the mountain, and it says they ate and drank with God. So they don't call it a festival for nothing. Okay, that was then. What about now? Celebrating Shavuot in the era of Messiah and his kingdom. With the resurrection of Jesus, the temple, the priesthood, and the sacrifices became obsolete. You can read that in the epistle to the Hebrews. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 16, it says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone forces his way into it." That's right. We've transitioned from the law and the prophets into the era of Messiah and his kingdom, and everyone's trying to get in it. It's an amazing, amazing kingdom, and it's been ushered in through the new covenant that Jeremiah prophesied. Yeshua established that new covenant in that last Passover Seder with his disciples. And so we've entered into this new era with a new covenant through a new Passover with the second Moses, the greater Moses, the Mashiach himself. So we're living in an amazing era, if you think about it. I wouldn't want to live in any other era. I think this is just the best of all the eras, the era of Messiah and his kingdom. Now, in relationship to that, with all these changes, some of the specific applications of the laws related to how we keep Shavuot have changed. For instance, there's no more animal sacrifices needed. You don't need an animal sacrifice any longer to celebrate Shavuot. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is our atoning sacrifices. All of those animal sacrifices were types and shadows of his sacrifice. And since we have his sacrifice, there's no longer a need for animal sacrifices. In fact, there's no temple anymore, no physical temple. We, the followers of Yeshua, we're now the living temple of God. The presence of God is no longer residing only in Jerusalem and has gone forth into all the nations via the Spirit of God and can be found everywhere that there are a people called by his name. So how would one keep the festival today in the Messianic era? Thank you. I'm glad you asked, right? Join a group that is keeping it corporately. It's a corporate celebration. You got to come out of your houses. It's time for everyone to get together and to celebrate a festival. So join up with a group that is going to celebrate the festival of Shavuot corporately. Sanctify the day. Set it apart by taking off work. Ask your employer for that day off and observe the appointed time. Prepare some delicious, biblically appropriate, life-giving food for yourself and others. Bring your favorite beverages. Bring some puffy, refined, honey-glazed challah bread. That's right. Get your party clothes on, and you're ready. Get ready to sing and dance and eat and drink and fellowship. It's a festival of redemption. Invite your loved ones and whosoever would like to come. Get them out. Bring them. Let's have a great time together in this cycle of redemption that God has given to us through his son, Yeshua the Messiah. And get your heart ready to receive Jesus. If you've not received him as your Lord and Savior, do that. Make him your Lord and Savior. He is the atonement of God. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Confess your sins and ask Jesus into your heart. He'll come in. He will actually enact a new covenant between you and God through what was promised in Jeremiah. Through him, you can be one with God. So open up your heart, receive Jesus. And if you've already done that, ask him for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. This is the season of the outpoured Spirit. Ask him for a fresh infilling of his Holy Spirit. start or continue your journey of unpacking and applying the Torah to your life, the Torah, the very Torah of Moses that now has been written on your new creation heart. That's Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10. The Torah has been written on your heart. Unpack it. And through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, begin to apply it in your life and walk in it. Therein lies the blessings. And then finally, join a Messianic community. That's right. Hook up and join in with a Messianic community. Serve and grow in the grace and knowledge of Yeshua, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And finally, share the good news with everyone who will listen that the rule and reign of our compassionate God has come to us in and through the life of Jesus, his only begotten Son. This is why I love Messianic Judaism. This is what makes Messianic Judaism different from all the other Judaisms. It is a Judaism that is focused and centered in Yeshua the Messiah. It is the fullness of what Moses promised and predicted and foretold. It is kept and transferred the great blessings and provisions of God from one generation to the next. And these holy days, celebrating these ancient holy days within the context of the fullness of who Mashiach is and what he has done for us in the new covenant, makes these holy days sizzle. They are amazing. They will transform your life. So we encourage you to jump in and find the fullness in Messiah and understand that they are actualized through him, the only begotten Son of God, our Messiah. Keeping the appointed times within the context of the person and works of Messiah is the most meaningful way anyone could do or experience them. This infuses our lives with blessing and purpose, excitement, and joy. Every year when I'm at the park and I'm just listening to the different speakers, and we're singing the songs, we're dancing the dances, we're just building relationships with one another, I'm just overwhelmed with all of that blessing and purpose, that excitement and that joy. You know, keeping the holy days in the fullness of Messiah, it just actually reframes how we view ourselves, how we view each other, how we understand the world that we live in. It gives us traction in living our lives. It brings the blessing and dispels the curses. It's just like, you know, it's the very thing that keeps us centered and focused in the heart and mind of God and the purpose and the blessings of God. And it gets us ready. Finally, it gets us ready for the age to come. It preps us for that coming age when Messiah returns again and then recreates a new heaven and a new earth. It's amazing. I'm just so excited about it. So in closing, let me make some applications as we close this part of our service. Are you ordering your life according to your Father's heavenly calendar? It's an annual calendar with set appointed times. Do you order your life according to your Father's annual calendar? Your Father in heaven has an annual calendar. We should order our lives in relationship to that. All of his days are already set. It's easy just to schedule everything around them, making them the priority. It reminds me of the words of Jesus when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things will find their place." And it's true. I've done that for 30 plus years now. And what I found is this, is that when you order your life around the priority of the kingdom, everything does fall into place. Everything kind of works out. It's just, I don't know how to explain that, but it does. I've experienced that. I can tell you it's true. By embracing and implementing these appointed times, including the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, you will find the rhythm and cycles of redemption and purpose. By observing them, they will impart blessing to your life. They will give you context and grit for living a life of passionate love and courage. They will connect you with 3,500 years of religious heritage, a legacy that no other religion can compare with. These holy days are part of the ancient ways of an all-powerful and all-loving Creator. So get your Omer calendar. You can go to graftedin.com. That's G-R-A-F-T-E-D-I-N kehilat.com, and you can download a calendar and count with us. Make plans now to join us in the beautiful Denver Central Park for a full-on citywide Shavuot celebration. It will mark our 7th annual citywide Denver Metropolitan Shavuot. Come on out, join us, join the dance. Let's have some fun as we celebrate the great redemption of our God that is coming to us through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. I will leave you with a word from the Lord today. I'm going to leave you with a word from the Lord as spoken by one of our greatest prophets in this movement. Thus saith the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. That's Jeremiah 6:16. Get into that passage. Ask the Holy Spirit about that passage. Dig in and find the wealth and the treasure of that passage. You'll never, ever be the same. Shabbat shalom.
Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Yivarech Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Yaher Adonai panav alecha ve'yihunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha. Ve'asem lecha shalom. Shabbat shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehila Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado, 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat shalom and Shavua tov. Shabbat.